Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
It's now time to reflect and look to the future of Microsoft service Game Pass on our podcast, Game Pass or Pass. Normally, the podcast where we play games of Microsoft's Game Pass service tell you which games to pass on to your friends, which games to simply pass on by. But now we're going to do a little bit of speculation, a little bit of looking back, looking forward into the future where there's flying cars. One day it'll happen. I am Corey. I am joined by the man with the hoverboard, Marty McFly, also known as Basher.
Why can't that be Doc? I mean,
I guess if you want to be.
I don't have the shakes when I get older.
Is Hollywood going to try to remake that? They're going to, right?
Oh, you know it's been in the books for a long, long, right. long time. It's going to be played by Chris, not Evans, what's the other Chris that's in everything? It's playing Mario right now.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, it's going to be played by Chris Pratt.
Robert Downey Jr. as Doc.
I could be in on that, actually.
Hollywood called me. Clearly, I'm onto something. We're here to talk about Game Pass. The state of Game Pass. We play games on it all the time. Microsoft is out there buying studios, releasing consoles. We got the Xbox Series X. We got the Xbox Series S. Sony is supposedly working on a Game Pass competitor. Nintendo's out there doing whatever. But looking back on this year and looking to the forward, how are we feeling about Game Pass?
In general, I feel like Game Pass still is a good value of a service. And I look forward to the next good games to put on there. And I say it that way because they're putting, in my opinion, I feel like they're putting more and more very questionable quality games on here as well.
Yeah, this year I thought this was going to be the year, like, I still think it's if you have an Xbox and you don't have Game Pass, you're doing it wrong. Like, I still really think that is the answer. But, you know, I think what's losing a lot of its pizzazz or its shine is, like, the day one games, you know, the debuting on Game Pass. And it's just like that used to, I feel like, had a lot of, you know, awesome feelings to it. But I ran into a lot of games this year, a lot of games that simply were broken, like Breath Edge and Art of Rally. Those are two games that day one Game Pass games, load them up, can't play them, like just can't play them. You try to, it's like press A to start. I remember Art of Rally. It was like press any button to begin. Didn't work. Flat out didn't work. I had Breath Edge just wouldn't load. Like, I'd press the button and it just wouldn't do anything. It's just like, and those were both day one games. And Art of Rally is not, go Google Art of Rally. And it's not, like, I'm not here to judge games based on just how they look, but, like, that is clearly a college student project that got turned into a game. And that's fine. But putting your premier product in Game Pass and trying to sell Game Pass off of something like that just is gross. It's gross.
Don't forget about the games that do work, but also just complete shovelware, like something like a Skatebird. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how that gets past quality check. I mean, it's it makes me think that if I were to go down the list and really look and comb through the catalog, how much other garbage would there be? Like, I'm going forward, I really hope that they put more effort into quality control, just because not every game's going to be a banger, but at the same time, you can make sure that games at the very least work and aren't skatebird. Like, I mean, that is a bare minimum that someone can do there at Microsoft.
Yeah, and it's, I think we're to the point where the numbers game doesn't, it doesn't add a lot for me. Like, a lot of times, you know, they drop 5 to 10 games at a time, and that's fine. But, and not everything needs to be for me. Like, they recently did a drop of Ben 10 and, what was the name of that other game? It's going to drive me nuts. But basically another game that is aimed at children, you know, it's not aimed at anyone else, and that's fine. Like, that's great. They should do that. But a lot of times there's like 10 games in there and I look at them and I'm just like you have stuff like Art of Rally. And it's just like, it seems like that game is simply there to simply bolster the amount of games that are on it. And I know that's an important thing, but at the same time, it's not the only thing that's important. Quality control is also important.
I feel like it was important. They are now at a catalog number where it's no longer important. You can just focus on games that are at the very least working again.
Right. And it reminds me of something like an Apple TV. Like, Apple TV Plus does not have a ton of content, but it's also only $5 a month, and they focus on having good content. You know, it's also the HBO model. You know, it's not cable, it's HBO. You know, they focus on, like, it's going to have quality over quantity kind of thing. And I think they're to that point. There's just a lot of stuff that this year ended up not being great. But it's also tough because you're also relying a lot on games being good. And that's a tough thing, right? Like, you know, I look at Back 4 Blood. Like, Back 4 Blood was a big get. You know, it was day one. That was... It's not a Microsoft exclusive, but it feels that way because it was on Game Pass. And I don't think that game was ready. Like, game just wasn't ready. They just now released the patch that sort of got it to the point to where it probably should have been at launch. And I understand that sometimes that's, you don't know that until you get the game out there in the wild. But the stuff that was like, oh, you can't progress character wise if you're playing solo. And it's just like, what are you talking about? Like what? Like, a lot of stuff like that just brought the quality of that game down. And we played that game, what, twice and never touched it again. And like, that was a pivotal moment or a pivotal game for the service. So it's tough. Like, sometimes those games just don't hit. And I don't know how to combat that issue, I guess.
And that's an important thing to remember, too. Just because a game is high profile, it has some hype, or it has certain developer attached to it, does not mean anything.
Right.
So, like, people, as someone who enjoys Microsoft Game Pass, there are internet arguments happening right now where they'll point out, well, Microsoft has this and this in developer doing this and this in day one. It's like, it really doesn't matter at the end of the day, because these games could really not be good. Looking back, as much as I enjoy Outer Worlds, it wasn't the second coming of Fallout that we all thought it was going to be. It was just right. Not broken Fallout. So, like, look, going forward, like, it's going to be super tough to distinguish the hype, because a lot of the hype is, I would say all the hype is just, it's kind of fell flat on its face, where the real fun titles are the ones that are, you kind of don't see coming.
Yeah, and I think that's the other point I wanted to make. Like, this year, more than ever, was where it could just be a personal thing, but it's just like, man, I am just falling out of the AAA hype eyes, like the hype goggles of just like, I did not enjoy a majority of the, quote, AAA games this year. And, you know, to have both these topics, like, I think what Microsoft needs to do is they have to look at stuff like Halo Infinite. Like, we ended up passing on that game rightfully so, I think. But I look at it's like that game got delayed for a year. And I think that year probably made the difference of that game being for us being a, we had to have a discussion about it and decide versus just being like, nope, a hard no. And sometimes the game just doesn't, it doesn't end up being the 10 out of 10. And you still have to ship a product, you know, you have to ship a game and you have to get it out the door, but you have to at least work to make it the best it can possibly be without starting over kind of thing. And I think that with the power of Game Pass, you know, you're going to have an audience for it. That being said, you know, we're on the, most people are enjoying Halo Infinite a lot more than we did. You know, the people that have been waiting for Halo are super enjoying it, and it's got that cachet of being quote Halo. So I think the game is doing what it needs to do. But, you know, like the Back 4 Bloods, I enjoyed so much more. Like I played Flynn, Son of Crimson, which is just it's a little 2D indie game, but it's some of the most fun I've had this year. Like I enjoyed that immensely more than Back 4 Blood. Like it's not even a competition. And I just don't know. I don't know what is it. AAA? Is it me? Is like AAA just not working? Like Knockout City was one of the best games this year. Like, and that's not a AAA game. Monster Train, not a AAA game. And those are the games that I'm remembering this year.
Well, absolutely, and I think it's. I mean, I honestly don't know what it is because again, like for me, what Game Pass is used for is the not AAA games, and it's for that reason. It's like
I feel like it's more Microsoft needs to do a better job of highlighting those, like Halo Infinite, Halo Infinite, Halo Infinite. We heard Halo Infinite launching on Game Pass 100 times, you know, where Psychonauts 2 didn't get that hype. Like you need to have people that are on there that know these games, that are talking to developers, especially if they're new games, that are playing these games and be like, no, like this is something special. Like we need to push this game. That to me is worth so much more than the name attached to it. And I get it. That's a tough thing to do. This is a very consumer driven market that works on advertising, but you can have a balance.
No, it absolutely can. And so like, I guess the question is whose job is that? Or should they get someone to have that job? Cause it feels like to me that this is a publisher ran kind of thing where it's, we have the money to put it on Game Pass, therefore it's going to be on Game Pass. As opposed to, yeah, you have the money to put your game on Game Pass, but is it good enough? Do we like it? I don't think there's anyone doing that kind of gut check. Because I do not expect anyone to be hired to play through every single game before it gets on the Game Pass. That's kind of ridiculous. But at the same time, you need someone to look at it and go, this seems like a Spiritfarer situation. Let's allow it, as opposed to this feels like a Skatebird situation. Let's pass on this one.
Right, and I know, like I said, that's hard to do because you have to sign these deals, you know, so far in advance, etc. But I just feel like there needs to be a little bit more quality control. That's my biggest thing with it. But I it's still just there's. I just still feel like Game Pass is, it's still the hottest thing in gaming. Like, and there's such a visceral, like, debate about Game Pass and, like, what it does to, you know, like, does it devalue games and is it really that special because you don't own the games? And there's just such a debate about it and people just want to kill each other over it. And I'm just like, man, Just play the games, man. Like, you can still buy them if you want. I don't know. Like, I still think there's something magical about it. And that hasn't worn off for me of watching those Game Pass drops of like, oh, what's new? What's coming? And even when, you know, that happens and there's not something there that speaks to me. Like, I end up diving into something that I missed and I end up finding something I really like. And I feel like that's the point, right? But I don't know. I feel like people get wrapped up in the marketing too much.
No, that's definitely the point, because I don't even get hype about the weekly drops. Like, because I'm just like, I'm going to find something on there that I like to play regardless. And I think, like, I'm playing through a game called Fae Tactics right now. Like, a game I would never have bought anyway. Like on my own, rather. But I just went through the RPG session. I'm like, what's this? I'm like, and I just downloaded it. I think that's the magic of Game Pass, is kind of discovering what's on there, discovering what's something that you never thought you'd play before. And we need more of that in the industry, where it's promoting, or giving rather, the opportunity to play games that we wouldn't normally play. I mean, look at something like Steam, and it's such a large amount of trash on there, but at the same time, it doesn't matter if you're interested in something, because you have to put the money down first to even figure out if you like it. Even though they have the Steam refund, it's still an upfront cost. Whereas Microsoft Game Pass, it's $10, $15 a month, and it's, you kind of play whatever you want. And in a month, if you play through a bunch of stuff you know you don't like, you can just stop it.
Yeah, there's still value there. Like, there's value in paying, even if I paid $10 and I got to play through things I didn't like, there's still value versus spending $30 on something I didn't like at all, kind of thing. And sometimes it's not that the game is bad. It's just not hitting for me in that moment, or I'm just not in the right mindset, or I don't have time for Just Cause 4 right now. You know, like, for some odd reason, I ended up playing Lawn Mowing Simulator. You know, like, I didn't actually do that. I kind of want to, just because it's on. That's Lawn Mowing Simulator. Like, huh? Like, that's a next-gen only exclusive. Like, that's so ridiculous that I have to at least see what this is about, right? And there's going to be a chance that I will end up liking that game because I'm weird and I'm someone that plays PC Building Simulator. But the fact that exists, kind of thing, is I think, part of the point of it. But yeah, so that's our rant on that. But I think we need to talk about the two other kind of big things of, you know, Microsoft has purchased a lot of studios, and next year they've got two, you know, we know of two games coming from that purchase, one being Redfall and the other one being Starfield. Those are both coming from Bethesda, but, you know, we still have got other titles like Microsoft Flight Sim hit this year. Psychonauts 2 ended up being, you know, one of their games because of the Double Fine purchase. Halo Infinite, Forza Horizon 5, like, how do we feel about, you know, are we finally seeing the fruit of their labor, or, you know, with Microsoft, it always sort of felt like, well, you just got to wait till next year. Like, was this finally the year where you're starting to see that? Yeah. Like, if you look at all the games, like, some of them, I don't know if we should count, you know, Psychonauts 2, simply because they purchased that while it was going, but that ended up being, you know, our pick for game of the year. Does that count, kind of thing, I guess?
I mean, yes and no, because as we touched on earlier, like, it really doesn't matter if Bethesda is publishing a game or not. I mean, and this isn't to sound like a fanboy or anything, but I mean, well, like, Bethesda hasn't been great, like, right, overall recently. I mean, I know we all remember the games that we do like from them, but how many of us remember playing Rage for 30 minutes and going, all right, that was a game.
Hey, I finished that game.
Oh, I feel bad for you. Are you okay?
No, I'm not.
I mean, we all remember Fallout 4. I mean, like, it's, I mean, they showed Redfall in that other game, but I mean, like, I don't, honestly, at this point, again, to your point, these are AAA games. I'm not hyped for these anymore. Like, I don't, my gut reaction is Redfall is not going to be good.
Like, I don't know. I am not an Arcane game person, but man, people really like Deathloop and they really like Dishonored, and I don't get it, but the people that like those games love those.
Right,
games.
Another one. So, just another series of, like, I'm good, like, I'm not hyped for these. Like, so personally speaking, I'm way less hype about this Bethesda acquisition and the games finally coming out, and more hyped about like the much smaller games that I'll get to play, because I have better time kind of emotionally speaking, whereas like if I don't have this expectation for this game and it's good or even decent, I'm okay with that, especially if it's by a smaller team, as opposed to holy crap, Bethesda's Redfall is finally coming out, can't wait. You play it and it's like, eh. just more AAA stuff.
Yeah, I still think we're a couple years out from when we're really going to see Microsoft firing all cylinders. Like, I think they're getting there. Like, I really do. And it's, you know, I think Microsoft started to make the turn in 2016, 2017, where it seemed like they have refocused on what it means to be a publisher and what it means to be a developer. And I think the main thing is time. Like, we went through an era where, you know, we had Quantum Break and Halo 5 and Sunset Overdrive and, you know, Forza Horizon, and like, you know, Scalebound got canceled. And there was a time where they just seemed like they were a corporate machine, you know? And I think, I don't want to say that time is over, but it seems like they're learning their lesson. They're looking at the industry and they're learning that they can't just pump money into things and expect them to work out. Like, you have to actually manage them, and you have to sort of step out of the way sometimes.
All the time for Microsoft, like, don't touch it at all. If you guys are not good at that.
And as much as I don't really enjoy Halo Infinite, I think the fact that they gave that game an extra year is telling. I think that's very much a sign of them looking at their developers and all the ones that they've purchased and giving them time. And we recently had, you know, the unveiling of the hell's the name of that game? From Ninja Theory. What the heck's the name of that game?
Ninja Theory has a new game?
Yeah, oh my gosh. Hellblade. Hellblade, okay. The second Hellblade, and we finally got that debuted, and it's just like, you know, people are going nuts for it, of just like this jaw-dropping fidelity and graphics, and it's like, yeah, like that looks like something I want to play, and it looks really cool. And Ninja Theory never would have got that if it wasn't for an influx of money, like, and being able to hire more people and put more effort into their games. And so I think a lot of their pickups, like, I'm more excited about the Ninja Theories and the not Insomniac, the In Exile and the Double Fine, you know, these companies that always, like, you could just see they had greatness available to them, and they just needed, unfortunately, it's a time and money thing. And I'm so much more excited to see what they are doing other than the Bethesda. And it's not that I'm not going to play Starfield. I'm going to play Starfield. I'm going to play Redfall. Like, I'm going to play these games, but they're almost a known quantity. Like, I know what I'm getting with those. And that's where that influx of Game Pass of like, dude, In Exile is going to get a AAA experience out of this team. And you've also got stuff like Playground making Fable. And it's like, I'm super excited to see these teams that are doing brand new things that get the weight of Microsoft behind them. That's the stuff I'm excited about. Unfortunately, I think I'm alone. I don't say alone. I think that we're on the lower end of that. I think most people are like, bro, I've got Game Pass to play.
Right. Yep.
Starfield.
And they're not. They're not wrong, you know, like it
right.
It's a reason to have Game Pass. But personally, I'm looking forward to these smaller titles this year and every year at this point. I thought when I first got Game Pass that I would have it for the bigger titles. so that I could play these bigger titles without spending $60, now $70 for them. But having gone through it, it's like I don't even want to play these anyway. And it's
right.
Like I'm going to play Starfield, but I'm not going to be hype about it. Like, and again, I hope I'm pleasantly surprised. But at the end of the day, this is a AAA Bethesda game. I just don't care. Like, it'll be fine. It'll be playable. On to the next thing that's going to blow my mind, though. I mean, that's going to try to do something new and the next Yoku's Island, if you will, just kind of like the next Spiritfarer. Something that's just going to be super cool, super fun, and not demand 60 hours of my life. That's not going to spark an argument because I don't love it. Just something that's going to be like just a game that's going to be good and live in its own world.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like it seems the selling point for a long time, and I think it probably will be, is just like, yo, you get Back for Blood day one, fam. And I'm just like, whoa, that's crazy. Like, that's crazy, right? Like, that's a $60 game. And now, like, very quickly, like, my hype is, like, I think that for a long time was, like, why people keep their Game Pass subscription. It's like, well, I was going to get that game anyway, so, like, might as well. But now it's like, dude, I really don't even care. Like, I'm keeping my Game Pass subscription simply because I want to see what other games that I missed. I want to see these games that I don't even know about that are coming out. And I really wish they would talk more about those things. And I think, you know, I'm they had stuff like 12 Minutes this year. Like 12 Minutes was a game I was super looking forward to, and it ended up just not being that great. And there's stuff like The Gunk. Like, we haven't done an episode on The Gunk yet, but what I'll say is, like, that is not a top 10 game. Like, you know, I don't think that would ever be in our top 5 list. But I that's the stuff that I want to see. I want to see more stuff like that, and just go from there, I guess. And that's why I'm keeping my Game Pass subscription, you know, for those reasons.
And I hope it's working out for the developers as well, because as much as I did not like 12 Minutes, I hope that the deal that they got was one that was beneficial to them, because let's try more of those. I've always had all the systems, but being more of a PlayStation fan, there was a feeling for a long time where Sony, no matter how accurate it was, but it felt like Sony was kind of throwing money at developers, like, especially like the second, third tier developers, who just kind of like, hey, just do what you want. Like go ahead and release Flower. Like, we'll put it out. Release Journey. We'll put it out. Like, and every now and then you got these really cool, unique titles. And these titles are kind of what helps PlayStation be PlayStation. I'm really looking forward to these type of titles on Xbox. Because right now, Xbox is... it's the service of Game Pass. But what does that mean? What is on Game Pass? And there's a lot of good on Game Pass, but there's also a lot of bad on Game Pass. And I really hope they lean into that identity of putting the full weight behind certain titles, like you said. Like, we need, like, bring back that Summer of Arcade where you had a whole bunch of titles that were hit or miss, but at the same time, they were unique in their own right. I'm looking forward to more of those this year, less of the big AAA titles.
Yeah, and I think they, you know, this year, just some games that I know that, like, The Ascent was one of them, Artful Escape was another one. Like, they had a bunch of titles.
Right.
I think a lot of them just ended up not, you know, it's hard to remember sometimes, but I think a lot of them just ended up not working or not being amazing, but they were there. So I think they're there, but I think it's just a messaging thing at this point for me. It's just like, I want you to focus on games and not just AAA games. Like, I want every game to be just as important, and similar, like you said, the way Sony did. And it's super strange. And we're going to talk about Sony here in a minute, of just like that was Sony's thing, man. Like, they were smart enough to realize that let's just talk about it. So, you know, Sony's quote making a Game Pass competitor, I wouldn't call it that, but the rumor is like it's basically going to have three tiers. They're basically combining PlayStation Now and PlayStation Plus to where like the one tier you'll just have your PlayStation Plus to play online, and the second tier you'll have a library of PlayStation 4 and eventually PlayStation 5 games, and then the third tier you'll have PlayStation 1, 2, and 3 games that you can stream, kind of thing. And that's going to be sort of their Game Pass competitor. But the reason why I think this is kind of important, and you already said it, was just like Sony used to bank on that. Like they were smart enough to realize that their AAA games, unless you have 50 developers, you know, 50 of these caliber studios, you might go six to 12 months without a AAA game. I mean, they had nothing this holiday season. That's fine. Like they still have, you know, it's still the leading platform, and it's not like people are not buying PS5s, but like they used to push those indie games at those times and really use those to bolster their catalog while you had to wait for the next Horizon, you know, while you had to wait for God of War. And that's just gone. Like they just don't do that anymore. And I just find that super strange.
Yeah. And going right into it, I hope that comes back with their whatever system that the whatever service that they're calling this. Because that's what really helped shape them. That's what helps keep them afloat in between these big AAA titles. I mean, if there's any... Sony is lucky enough to be able to rest on that and rely on the once a year big title. But at the same time, I mean, if you're a Sony fanboy, your favorite thing to do is slap in the face, hey, we have games over here, you guys don't got nothing. It's like, you need more of those titles to come back, like those second party like Stardust titles to come back and be pumped out. I think, I'm hoping that we see more of those with the PlayStation service. I mean, and that would get me to buy a PlayStation, because like as I've said on this podcast, the only reason I got an Xbox Series X is because I bought a PlayStation 5 first, flipped that, and ended up not paying for the Series X, and solely because there's nothing to play on PS5. So they really need to get into the habit of something like a Game Pass or something that can counter a Game Pass where you're just pumping out games. To that point, my cousin says he's looking to buy a PS4 instead of a 5 because, again, it's nothing on the 5. And B, if PS4, he didn't own a PS4. So he gets to play all of those games. So if you can do that for a PS5 player, especially when I didn't have a PS4, you give them something to do as opposed to just waiting for Horizon to come out.
No, and that's like I'm a PlayStation 5 owner, and I think like it's really hard if you are not someone that is, I won't say a connoisseur, but like if you're not someone that seeks out gaming as your main hobby, I think it's hard to recommend an Xbox Series X over a PlayStation 5. Like I really do, like because you know Sony is just doing so much better when it comes to marquee titles. Like they knock it out of the park 9 out of 10 times. Like every once in a while, there's one that's not that great, but it's just like even games that I super wasn't into, like Ghost of Tsushima. Like I didn't love that game, but I could play it for 4 or 5 hours and look at it and just be like, I totally get why everyone is enamored with this game. I get why it sold 12 million copies. You know, Microsoft just doesn't have that. They just don't have that. And I really don't know what Sony's secret sauce is. I don't know if it's the marketing. I don't know if it's just a lot of good luck. I don't know what it is.
It has to be mostly luck, right? Because at the same time, Microsoft has had opportunities with, Insomniac Games, where it's like, okay, you make us a game. And then it's like, it ended up being complete trash. But I think part of that is Again, this is something I'm looking forward to with their service. They leaned into historically the weirder game, the more out there
bug
game.
Snacks. Like, yeah, like the, I mean, you could get Bug Snacks on PS5. Like,
I mean, even before, even bigger than Bug Snacks, which is everything,
right?
Demon Souls.
Bug Snacks is life.
I mean, people really think, if you talk to the average Souls fans, they think it started with Dark Souls and like on these multi-platform titles. Like, no, like this was Demon Souls. Like, PlayStation fans were playing this years before that came out and hyping it up. And I remember, like, day one playing that game going, I don't know what this game is, but I really like it. And it's like, and now look how big it is. I think it's mostly luck and just someone being like, hey, like, you're developing a game. Here's an extra $5,000-$10,000. Go for it. Like, if we lose, we lose. But even if they do, it just adds to the character of the PlayStation brand. I still feel like Microsoft needs to lean into that with their Game Pass service. And Microsoft thinks because they bought Bethesda, they solved that issue. They did not. They just have Bethesda now, a publisher that is hit or miss, to say the least. They still need to bolster their army with these cool, young, quirky games, because that's where you build that type of character.
Yeah, I agree entirely. I feel like, you know, during the PS4 era, you know, you had people like Shuhei Yoshida out there and Matt Boyce and they're just I won't say they were just faces, because that's not true. They were out there doing that work, it felt like. I feel like they were out there looking for these games for these publishers, which Microsoft has. They have, like, Chris Charla, who does a lot of the ID and Xbox stuff. But it just, like, there was something different about it. It seemed like they had a knack for finding these unique titles and really pushing them. And they still sort of do, but something just feels different about it. It seems like they're not focusing on that as much. And, you know, it feels very corporate over there right now. And it's like, you come here to spend your money on God of War, on Gran Turismo,
right,
on Horizon, and we're going to sell you 20 million copies of that, and we're going to laugh all the way to the bank because we've also upped the price because we can. Right. You know, like, and I'm not mad at them for it. Like, they're not wrong. That's why I have a PS5 right now. But the reason I only turn my PS5 on is for those games. And that's where it's just like, it's so strange to me. And that's why I said, you know, it's hard to recommend a PS5 over an Xbox right now. Or it's hard to recommend an Xbox over a PS5 if that's all you want. Like, I can't convince you with Game Pass to be like, I don't think Game Pass is the substitute for those games. They're just,
they're not.
Too good.
Right.
Yeah, they're too good. But when it comes to, it's like, if you're a gamer, like, in gaming is your main hobby, it's just like, I genuinely think I could give up Horizon for the sake of playing more things on Game Pass. Like, I don't.
Oh, I'm a PS fanboy, and I did that. I did just that.
Yeah,
I had
PS5. Fair. Yeah, that's totally fair.
I had it, like,
so
sitting in the box here, and I just, like, I didn't open the box because I knew, like, I'm going to play that Resurgence game. What is it called?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Their pretty game that their pretty runner game. Oh, what's the name of that game?
I think you made up a game.
No, it's called like Resurgence. It's like called like you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a runner.
I don't.
Yes, you do. It's their only exclusive.
Sony's?
Yeah.
Ratchet and Clank?
No. How's it that forgettable? Like, this is gonna bother me now.
It's a runner? I have no idea what you're I have no idea what you're talking about. I think you made it up.
Oh, what's the name? It has to start. Returnal.
Oh, Returnal. Okay, Returnal. Got it.
Yes. So, like, I had PS5 in a box, and I knew I could open it to play Returnal, and Returnal only for the next, 2 years? Like, year and a half?
Like, Yeah.
So it's like, there's no point in doing that for me.
Yeah, next year is more of a banger because you've got Horizon, you've got Gran Turismo, and you've got God of War supposedly.
So, and my issue with that is, and again, it just goes into more into the reason why I have an Xbox Series X instead of a PlayStation 5 is I hate the crossover gen time period. So like, those are all PS4 games as well. So if I really wanted to, I can just play them at a lower graphic fidelity on PS4 Pro.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And that was, looking back, that was one of those things, like Microsoft was very, very clear about what games were going to be cross-gen, and Sony was not.
Purposely
they were very
so.
Not, like, right. And they knew that, whatever, that's marketing 101. I shouldn't say marketing 101. It wasn't sleazy, but it was just like, really, bro? Like, we had this, the case of Gran Turismo, which they announced as a PS5 exclusive and only later decided to make a PS4 version. So it's like, that's also the state of development. Like, it's easier to port games than ever. It is what it is. Most developers don't get, you know, really under the hood of a new console for a couple years. So it's like, it makes sense, but whatever. My biggest thing is they're charging more for those games, which is dumb. But whatever. Next year, it's a little bit harder to make that argument, but next year you've also got Microsoft that's going to start having the fruit of the labors of the Bethesdas, of the InXiles, of the Ninja Theories. You know, like, theoretically, they should have a much stronger year than even this year. So it's getting harder and harder to move away from Game Pass if what you care about is just playing games. Like, this supposed service, I really don't care that the Horizons and the stuff are not there day one. That's totally fine with me. As long as the value is there, if it's $10 a month and I'm still getting games that are unique to the platform, that's what I care about.
Actually, I care about don't the content. Expect them to be there either, though, because again, Sony and Microsoft has two different kinds of exclusives. If you look at the exclusive that Microsoft has, look at Halo. I'm sorry, Halo Infinite is not a next-gen title. And
it should be.
It should be, but it's not. And they made it purposely so that it's not. So, like, to charge $70 for Halo is, like, it does not make sense on any level. However, if you were to make... And the fact that these are cross-gen is the issue for me. But let's say, hypothetically speaking, that God of War was PS5 only. It took full or a good chunk of the resources from PS5. I would understand why that's a $70 separate title that's not on the PS Now service. Because the level of their exclusives are so huge. Like, it makes sense almost. So... going forward, like, I hope that they have these really cool, nuanced titles on their service. And at the same time, I don't expect Horizon to be there. Like, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
And frankly, they don't have to put their games there. Microsoft needed a shot in the arm. Like, they needed a reason for you to check out Xbox, and they landed on Game Pass, and then Phil Spencer and others decided that the way that we can sell this is by putting all of our games on it day one. That is the reason why people started checking out Game Pass. It's that simple. It's the only reason I checked out Game Pass. And that was the shot in the arm that it needs, but now it's grown into something else. And, like, well, all I want from Sony's competitor service is, like, I don't expect those games to be there day one because they don't have to be. Like, that's truly what it is. Like, they don't, I'm still going to buy Horizon if it's not on Sony Pass. Like,
exactly.
They've just, that's the way they've positioned it, and it worked. Whereas if, you know, Halo Infinite wasn't on Game Pass, like, there's a very good chance that I would have waited for a sale. You know, like, if Redfall wasn't on Game Pass, I'd wait for a sale just because it's just not proven, you know, the way that Sony has positioned themselves in the market to prove that, like, we are worth the money. The $70 price tag is another story, but I digress. But yeah, I just, when it's called the Game Pass competitor, I think that's a little bit disingenuous. Like, PlayStation Now is almost there, except it doesn't have PS5 games, but, like, they do have this service where they sometimes put new games, like the Grand Theft Auto 3 remake got put on their day one. So, like, it happens every now and then, but it's so infrequent and it's just not presented, and it's not sold the same way that I did a trial of PlayStation Now for a month, and it is just, I didn't get anything out of it. And I don't really, there's just something off about it. I want more quality control, and I want to play games that I'm not going to play elsewhere, or if they are available elsewhere, give me a reason to play them here. That's all Microsoft has done. They've given us a reason to play the games there. So that's all I want, really. And I think,
competition is the most healthy thing in this landscape, any landscape, but this one, but gaming especially. So the fact that Microsoft bought out Bethesda and all the other companies, and their games are finally coming out, I like that Sony is now looking at its service and going, okay, we should do something else now. We should add to this, because that will only make the PlayStation brand better than it is now, which is really just waiting for your next big exclusive. So looking forward to anything that they do for that, to the PS Now service, because again, I tried PS Now years ago and was not impressed by it. But if you want to do something to make me impressed by it, by all means.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think we're going to end it there. Talked a lot. Got a lot coming out next year. So we're going to play more games in 2021. I promise. We were 7 games lighter in 2022, in 2021 than we were than 2020. That's not acceptable in my opinion. 7 games is a lot. So we're going to play more games next year, but there you go. And also what I'm going to say is PlayStation is going to call that PlayStation Platinum Plus. That's what that service is going to be called.
PlayStation Platinum Plus.
Yep. That's what I'm going with. It's also, I really hope they don't price themselves out. That's my biggest concern about that, is they're going to make it like $20 a month or something like that, which is just insane. So, all right, that's going to do it. Signing off for the year 2021, looking forward to 2022 and all the games it has to offer. What I'll tell you is that we have already started playing some games. Never mind. I'm not going to say what games yet. You'll have to find out next year. But this is Game Pass or Pass, signing off for the year 2021. If you want to let us know what you thought about the year and Game Pass, Sony's competitor, 574-651-9256. You can leave us a voicemail or shoot a text message there. gpopfans@gmail.com. We will see you in 2022. And